what's the series about? It's about
Welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and if I was transported to a Persona dungeon to help ease the souls of the girls who died, my personal item that would transform into a magical weapon would be my headphones, I think.
God damn it.
Is yours also headphones?
I'm Jeff, and if I was transported to a Persona dungeon to help ease the souls of girls who committed suicide, my personal item that would transform into a magical weapon would be, just to be slightly different from Annie, my AirPods, because I have them on hand all the time. And the thought of spending like a minute without listening to a podcast is like torture to me. So
bourgeoisie-ass AirPods, all right.
I don't know how they would not work well as a weapon, though, even if they transformed to a magical giant thing.
They could. You could have like dual blades.
But like, so you think like that each individual AirPod would like transform into like a long thing?
Yeah.
But what about the case? Like I was imagining I would be holding the case too.
That's a shield.
Oh.
I've got this.
But you can't have a shield and two dual blades.
Yeah, so you have like a shield on your back or something maybe that you can like drop a blade, grab a shield.
That's true. Yeah, like it could convert. Like you pull out two swords from it and then put it on your back and... Good ideas.
Wow, I thought mine would be like a sharp boomerang kind of thing in my headphones.
How would you turn your headphones into a boomerang?
Okay, like you could detach the wire so I would have like a lasso kind of thing to fight people with.
And then over the ear headphones.
Yeah, right? And then I would have my headphones tune like a little boomerang thing that's sharp to go.
Well, this is really what the show is about, so. If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to Love It or a Wee Bit. Today we are covering Wonder Egg Priority, which is available subbed on Funimation. But before we dive into that very heavy, meaty show that we have not been treating with the severity that we probably should have, before we get into that, Annie, what have you been watching or reading in the realm of anime?
Okay, so I broke down and everyone was talking about The Promised Neverland Season 2.
And you're how normie now.
I know, and how it's differing so much from the manga. So I was like checking up on that, and they have skipped everything. It's insane. So that's what I've been doing. I've just been like marveling at how the anime is kind of its own original thing right now.
So had you already watched the first season of the anime fully, or did you jump?
Yeah, I watched it when it came out, mm-hmm. And then. I've read the whole manga, so I'm kind of disappointed they're skipping my favorite arc, but it's fine. It's
that
cool.
Was your favorite arc?
Yeah, Goldie Pond's my favorite arc.
I have not watched since like the first or second episode of the show because I was kind of like, this seems well executed, the original first season. This seems well mm-hmm. executed, but also like, I've already read the story. I could just read the manga and I know that the manga artwork works really well on paper. Like it has a lot of like visual detail that even in the screenshots I've seen, don't directly translate it. It's its own beast, but I liked that original manga artwork. So I was like, you know, meh. But now the fact that it's diverged does make me more interested in like, oh, maybe I should watch anime to see how it's diverged. But I also didn't finish the manga yet. So I'm like, maybe I should go finish the manga, then watch the anime second season to see how it diverges.
Yes. Good plan. I'm here for that.
Because like Goldie Pond had some cool highlights, but I really did not appreciate the slow gradual turn the series takes from being this like kind of like thriller cat and mouse intellectual mind game kind of series into just shoot people with as many machine guns as you can.
Yeah, a literal battle.
And so like if they're skipping past that kind of stuff and reframing it to not just be about shooting people with as many guns as possible, that's interesting. I'm intrigued by that.
Sometimes that's what you gotta do. Well, they're also skipping the entire bunker. These are very vague spoilers. Sorry if you haven't read The Promised Neverland, but like the whole bunker where they meet, like, anyways.
I already know what you're talking about because I made that really dank Bernie meme about it.
Oh, yes, I remember. But like you miss out on like some emotional payoff later from skipping the bunker in Goldie Pond because like it seems like they skipped a bunch of things and they jumped to something that does happen in the manga. And I'm like, wait a second, none of this is going to hit as hard.
Yeah, but I have... Well, I don't have faith because I haven't actually been watching, but like there's the possibility that it hits in a different way.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to see.
Yeah. I mostly have seen people who have watched, who have read the manga, who are upset that they like completely ruined it. And it's like calling it the worst anime adaptation ever. And it's like, okay, maybe we should chill and see how this actually plays to the new people. Like,
there have been some pretty bad other anime adaptations, so we can calm down. I would say this is shocking if you're a manga reader and like kind of confusing. But I wouldn't say it's the worst thing ever. It's just confusing.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at my dank meme.
Oh my God. Well, what did you read anything or watch anything?
I kept watching Horimiya and I actually forget how many episodes passed.
Is it still delightful?
It's still delightful. There is another boyfriend for Miyamura-kun though. So,
oh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch.
I actually forget all the other details I just wrote down. Another boyfriend for Miyamura. So, and it's even more, I would say it's even more explicit about their connection.
What?
Because like there are a lot of parallels between this new boyfriend slash old boyfriend and Hori-san, and it's like, uh-huh. Well, you're drawing all these parallels, and then you're like also clearly have a crush on the second one. Then like you probably had a crush on the first one too, but you didn't want to admit it. Anyway, still good, still sweet.
Yay! Can't believe you didn't love it.
Well, some of us have taste. Now I don't remember why I didn't love it. I'll have to wait until I go back and edit that episode to know, to understand my thought process that week.
Just in a bad place emotionally, I bet. No. Just a little rough out here for you.
I think I'm still kind of hesitant that like that it's not going to be a thing that grips everyone unless it like sticks the landing every episode. And then by the end of it, I'm like, oh, that was an amazing thing. Everyone should go watch this. But anyway, let's get to this week's main topic. And oh God, it's my responsibility to summarize the series. So we're talking about Wonder Egg Priority.
Good luck.
Okay, so Wonder Egg Priority is an original anime from Studio Cloverworks, who is famous for some reason anime adaptations like I Promise Neverland, Fate Grand Order Babylonia, Millionaire Detective, and Horimiya, oddly enough. And what's the series about?
Are we doing spoiler free or no? Because it's kind of impossible.
Yeah, this, it is kind of hard to summarize the series.
It's like a Madoka situation.
I'll give a quick spoiler free summary, which is just that it is an original anime. It is very stylish. It is very energetic. There is a lot of surreal imagery and dream state-esque things happening. And it is very confusing and layered in lots of different metaphors in a way that, in terms of things that we covered on the show recently, it calls to mind a lot of Penguin Drum to me in just like being layered in metaphors and not really knowing what's going on. And that's one of the reasons it's hard to talk about without getting into spoilers, because especially in that first episode, you don't understand what's going on for a while. And to explain the plot of the series in harsh, you know, like explicit detail does kind of spoil the experience watching the first episode. If you want to go in being as confused as possible, I've seen a lot of people compare it to basically a Satoshi Kon film with the aesthetics of a KyoAni animation production.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And for people who aren't really familiar with Satoshi Kon works, like Paprika, Millennium Actress, what's the TV series? Just had an anniversary with there's like A Killer on the Loose. Oh my God, what's it called? There's an episode where they make anime. Oh my God.
Sure.
You don't know anything about Satoshi Kon, do you?
No.
Paranoia Agent. Okay. Oh my God. I don't know why that exited my brain. But yeah, he does a lot of surreal and also heavy material, and you know, also passed away like over a decade ago, so that's very sad. I was 2010. And anyway, this is very surreal and heavy. It deals with a lot of heavy topics, which before we drop the spoiler break and then discuss those heavy topics, maybe we should give a trigger warning for people if they're not really comfortable with those kind of topics. So it deals with a lot of death, suicide,
self-harm, bullying, abuse,
fat shaming. That would be, I think that's most of the things in the first three episodes.
That's most of it, I think.
And there's some more in the fourth episode that I've already watched about sexual harassment. So yeah, there's a lot of heavy themes. So if you don't feel comfortable with something exploring those themes, then definitely you don't need to check out the show. But let's dive into spoilers, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know how to do this. This is like breaking our normal format. We are the egg that is shattering.
Okay, maybe we should start with the main character, I.
Well, okay, I guess I should just give like to frame our discussion, finally answering the question that's supposed to be the top of our notes, which is what is Wonder Egg Priority about? And It seems to be this magical world where there is a magical world where people, where girls go after committing suicide, question mark, maybe not just suicide, maybe other death as well, but it seems like mostly suicide, where girls go after they die. And then other girls go there they buy eggs in a magical dream world. Maybe dream world, maybe not. Go into this world to help them fight off the demons they faced in life. And through that can potentially resurrect other people who have also died via suicide, I think.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right. That sounds basically right.
I realize now I really should have written down any of this to make any sense in audio format.
Okay, so here's my summary that's easier. We're following magical girls, and these magical girls have to fight off demons, and if they can save a girl from a demon, her soul gets to rest. And if they save enough souls, then they can resurrect their one friend.
Yes.
That's it. That's the whole show.
It didn't connect for me for a while that they were magical girls because it was all happening in these dream worlds. But yeah, they're basically magical girls.
Yeah. The whole time I was just thinking about Madoka and like the parallels.
The thing that the Madoka parallel that I kept seeing is that like as soon as I think it's end of episode one. So like after she goes on this, you know, like it feels kind of weird to call it an adventure because it's like dealing with grim topics, but like she goes through that first episode and, you know, like eases the burden of the soul longer or whatever. And then like it's kind of like playing this happy uplifting music because it's like, okay, like now you just have to keep doing that and then you'll be able to save your friend. But then it also like, I forget exactly how it's delivered, but it's basically like, oh yeah, there are like tons of these girls. And also each one of them, she basically is like, can any of them come back to life? And they're like the whatever weird male entity that's explaining things to her is like, yeah, they can come back to life if they have a friend like you who's fighting for them. And that, I don't explain, you know what I mean? That like each one of those girls has to have another girl fighting to save several other girls. Like the ratio is off. Like if you're saving 10 plus girls in order to save your one girl.
It just means a lot of people didn't have friends.
Yeah.
Well, that was explained with the first girl. She was like, yeah, I had no close friends.
I guess so. So I guess like that girl has no hope because there's no one to be fighting for her. And it just seems like this is the whole system is very cynical in that like not everyone can be saved. And yeah. I guess they're upfront about that, but...
Well, if your soul's resting, that's fine. You just don't get to come back to life.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's just, like, that framing of it being, like...
Y'all better have some good friends out there. I think the moral of this show is have a good best friend who would literally fight demons for you.
Yeah. It also, I think, was some of the moments that hit me the hardest in the first episode was, like, her... Like, I basically, before she met her friend who committed suicide, she basically had no friends. And it seems like only briefly... had an experience of having friends, but through this magical girl experience is making more friends.
Seems like it.
But yeah, that imbalance, that ratio of things, like clearly this being being run by two men, Aka and Uraka or whatever. I mean,
are they men? They're just godlike.
They're godlike mannequins creatures with male voices.
Yeah.
And it was just very like Kyubey, Madoka Magica.
Yes.
Presenting this flowery experience and then later pulling back the curtain and being like, actually, all of this excess energy is being channeled to, you know, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing is about draining energy from people.
Okay. We didn't give our initial impressions or verdict.
Okay.
Okay, count of three. Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Weeped it.
We were supposed to do the thing. Even in episode one, they do the thing where they say on the count of three, say it. And then Navin says it and they giggle about it. Annie, oh my God.
I would never do that to someone.
Wow. Okay, wait. I need to process this.
I'm weeping it. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Explain yourself.
So far. I will have to see how the further episodes go because I am interested, but I am running into the same problem that I run into a lot of these shows with, is none of these characters I care about.
What do you mean by these shows?
Or like a lot of the shows that we watch, you know?
Okay, not like, I was wondering if you were talking like Madoka Magica.
No, Madoka did a great job. So spoilers for that show is it built up like her friendship with the other girls and like the fun of being a magical girl. And then big spoilers, when mommy dies, like that was like emotionally rough because I had grown to care about her. And like then I was pulled in. I was like, I gotta know more. But in this show, I don't care about Ai yet. Her friend didn't seem great. And none of the characters are particularly likable or interesting. So It's a little hard for me to be invested.
I see your point there. I feel like the main thing that is pulling me into the show is really the like stellar execution, like the amazing visuals, the amazing direction.
It does look great. It looks excellent. The concept is interesting and not 100% new, but like rare, I'd say.
I think there's a lot of, for me, my biggest concern with the show is just that it is too heavy, and that locks out a lot of people who just like don't want a heavy thing. And also that, like, I am extremely hesitant to recommend the show at this point because the graveness of its subject matter, like basically in each episode being about different people who have committed suicide and like exploring the emotional and psychological things that went behind their suicide, is so heavy and can so easily be flubbed. Or like the landing of that seems really important, especially with episode 2 introducing people who have, I don't want to say gender issues, but like the show is starting to tackle gender issues.
Oh, in episode 4?
Yeah, in episode 4.
Which I haven't seen.
Well, yes, because you were not supposed to. You followed the rules and I did not. But
yeah, how dare you?
Like, it's kind of like, even if these first episodes are amazing and handle everything with a really empathetic lens and handle everything very sensitively, if episode 12, you know, like concludes in a way that's just like, I don't know, kind of shrugs off the problems and is like, and they were happy forever or whatever, like I could just very easily imagine an ending that shrugs off these problems or implies that they're not really that big of a deal or implies like a very clean cut solution to everything that I think would retroactively make the show terrible. So that's my biggest concern, because I think everything we've gotten so far is stellar. And I do agree with you that like we don't love these characters, or like I don't really like
care about them.
I especially don't like Koito, the girl that Ai is trying to resurrect. But I think that's kind of the point, that she meant a ton to Ai and we don't understand why yet. Or like what was going on with her.
Or like friendship's irrational or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And there's also clearly a lot going on with her dead friend Koito and her guidance counselor, who also seems to be dating Ai's mom.
I don't know if he's dating her mom, but he's there at her house.
He's there and weird. Said something that felt very much like I assumed it was like her stepfather at first.
Oh, I assumed that he was, I didn't hear what he said maybe at first, but he said like, I'll go because you have company or something like that. And like, I assumed that he's there to check on Ai because, well, that was confusing.
It's almost like we're talking about Mr. Love Queen's Choice in first person pronouns only.
Should I use her? Oto?
Ai Oto.
Oto? Should I call her Oto? Okay, well, Oto's like being a shut-in because her friend died, and maybe he's just like checking in on her and also making sure she like doesn't say anything about what she saw.
Yeah, it could be that. I almost said like that less nefarious purpose, but yeah, if she's trying to make sure she doesn't say anything, spill the beans about him having a relationship with a student, that's also terrible.
Honestly though, a little iconic for Koito, because the other girls like the other girls were like bullying her because she was getting attention from him. She's like, okay, well, I'll get more attention. It's bad and awful, but also, you know what?
I don't know what. No.
Also, like, it's not her fault that he's gross to other girls who are bullying her. Like, what the hell? I know we're not supposed to understand the bullies, but still. Does bullying happen like that?
Like what, specifically?
I don't know. There's a lot of bullying in this. I think it's just because it's trying to highlight each of these girls' experiences. But it's like a lot to take on, to like see so many different people get bullied so severely.
Yeah.
It's like, just a lot.
There's a form of bullying I've seen a lot in anime and manga that I don't think I've ever seen in real life, which is the like girls being mean to other girls because of who guys give affection to. But also as a guy, was not really exposed to that girl-on-girl kind of bullying, and like there are a lot of social dynamics I would not have seen.
I don't know if they would have, because for me, what I've seen is more like snide comments, like if some girl's getting too much attention, they'll be like, wow, what a whore.
Yeah.
And shit like that. But they wouldn't like write on her locker to die. And then like, I guess when like Oto was hiding in the locker, they were just like ripping her Koito's clothes off?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and watch that again.
Because, like, she was, like, putting her clothes back on when Oto comes out of the locker.
Mm.
And I was like, girls, it's a grown man. He's not worth it. Like, what is wrong with you? Ugh, but I think the show actually does a pretty good job of balancing how heavy and awful the subject matter is with like some light humor every now and then, like especially when Rika shows up.
Yeah.
And oh, what's the other girl's name?
We have a chart right here. Neru? Oh,
yes, Neru. She and Rika's like dynamic is kind of fun for me because Neru's like not having any of Rika's like nonsense.
It's true. I wanted to like Rika as soon as she appeared. And then when she started talking, I was like, oh my God, she's terrible. And then she's terrible. Okay, it's clearly the point that she's like, it's all a facade, that she's not actually that terrible. But it was harsh. Like, as someone who has been overweight like almost entire life, I assume. I don't remember when I was a baby. But anyway, like, and dealt with body image issues because of that, like, her just like casually calling her fan that she's trying to resurrect fat all the time. I was just like, oh, I know this is you being obnoxious on purpose, but like, I can't even abide by it.
I know. I was like, you feel bad clearly because you're fighting for her soul, but like, you're just still being awful to her.
Yeah. And it's like, it's fun. Some of her obnoxiousness do go along the ride for, but yeah, I don't know. And Neru, I feel like, is just such an enigma that we have not learned anything about her.
Yeah.
It's just that she has a sister that she's trying to resurrect and is very diligent and getting lots of eggs to do that.
Yes, and is in the hospital.
So I was very confused by what was a dream world and what was not, because as soon as they, all the scenes where they actually have the egg and then it ends up cracking, those are all in dream worlds. Like, they wake up in a dream world, they have an egg, and if it cracks, then the person comes out of the egg and then they like go through the whole, they start reliving the trauma and everything.
Uh-huh.
But is the place where they go and buy eggs? I assume it was a dream world for a while, but then eventually like they start meeting up along the way and stuff. And I'm like, I guess it's in the real world.
I was under the impression it was a dream, but you could get hurt in that world until you break the egg. I mean, you can get hurt when you break the egg also, but you heal really quickly. But I think you can get hurt in the place where you buy the eggs, but you will heal pretty fast. Because Rika like fell to the ground because her ribs were cracked and then she healed.
Oh yeah, I forgot that she like came out of a dream in that world. Like, yeah. She was done with her battle and then ended up there.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's like a weird like limbo in between the two worlds.
I guess so. What confused me at first, I was trying to track because the point is that she, you know, like, she didn't have friends, but she still went to school like normal. And then she met Koito and they became really close friends or whatever. And then after Koito killed herself, I became a shut-in and did not go to school anymore. So then there were eventually scenes where she's leaving her room and going about town and stuff. And I was like, wait, was she always leaving her room all the time? Like, I was trying to track basically, like, was that a big psychological deal for her to start leaving her room and start going out into society and stuff? And I couldn't actually place when that starts happening because there are all these scenes like where she, like in the first episode, starts like stumbles upon the egg place and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know if this is a dream and if it's not that big of a deal that she's out in the world, or if it's real life and it is a big deal that she's out in the real world. I don't know. I was very confused.
I'm trying to remember. And I think in the first, I don't think she's like a shut-in. Like, she's only in her house.
Like, she's just avoiding school, but she's not literally unable to leave her room.
I thought she was even like maybe going to school, but she would like just come right back to her room.
I don't think we ever see her like dressing up in school clothes.
Maybe you're right. But I feel like she was like, yeah, avoiding school or like people in general from school, like the bullies and whatnot.
Yeah, that's probably it. Well, I guess I was also confused. I was trying to track when she starts meeting these girls in real life versus in dreams, because she definitely sees Neru in the egg buying place, which might be implied to be a physical location or might be dream world. And then I think the first time that she sees her outside of that place is in the hospital, right? Like, she sees her like being wheeled away.
Oh yeah, she does.
But she and her mom are just sitting on a bench in the hospital. And I was like, why are they? Maybe she's getting like filling out paperwork, or whatever, to leave after her hospital stay.
I feel like that seems right.
I don't know. I was confused because I was like, why would they be in the hospital? They're not. It wasn't like.
I feel like she got hurt.
Right, she got hurt and she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
But then when she sees Neru, she's not like, it's not like they're in separate hospital rooms, which would make sense to me. It's like, it looks like she's there to visit someone. And then she sees Neru. I was confused.
They're probably just waiting for their like name to be called for her to like be discharged or something.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Well, yeah, I don't know. The various mechanics, like the actual like weather, I don't know. It only seemed like a big deal only because I thought that she was such a shut-in that she did not want to leave her room or her apartment. But it seems like, I think what you're saying is right, that she's just staying away from school.
Yeah, I don't know if I like her at all.
But she's a sunflower.
She's an uninteresting sunflower. Except for like her eyes, I guess, are cool looking. And she's like, people bully me for them. And I'm like, ugh, whatever.
I don't think it's the kind of show we should just say, ugh, whatever, to people being bullied.
I know, but it's like, for me, who does not feel emotionally connected to this show kind of at all, like, even, like, the sad parts, I'm not, like, super sad. I'm just uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't think it ever, like, evoked me crying or anything. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's extremely heavy, and this is very...
It's just unpleasant, honestly, for me. It's not, like, a fun time. It's not that interesting to me. Like, the concept's interesting, but, like, the execution is not.
I guess I find it interesting because it's, like, dealing with what feel like heavy and important themes and treating them with so much gravity that, like, even just showing all this bullying and showing the harm and danger that it causes, you know, like, feels like an important thing to communicate in the world, you know? It feels like the show has a message. And
but what is it? Because I'm getting zero message other than bullying happens.
I think it's that the girls need to stand up for each other, and they can only, like, people's pain can only be eased by helping each other and reaching out and getting to know new people.
I'll have to, like, again, like, I'll have to keep watching, but, like, right now, this doesn't hit me emotionally anywhere. I know that's what it feels wrong to me, is it feels like it's trying really, really hard to, like, evoke emotion, but it's just doing a bad job.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't say that it's, like, trying to evoke emotion. I think it's just dealing with a very heavy, what's the word I'm looking for? It's dealing with heavy, very heavy topics. And I think it's, like, what we've seen so far has shown a sensitive touch to handling those topics, but it really depends on where it's going with it. And another thing I find really bizarre and fascinating about this show is that it, like, feels so extremely competent. Like, it looks amazing. It is so, like, confusing and heavy and, like, all these different layered metaphors and stuff. And I feel like normally you see a show with that kind of punching that hard, and it's like, okay, it's, you look up and it's like, you look it up and it comes from a famous director or a famous writer or a famous studio. And I guess, like, CloverWorks has done a bunch of anime before. They're not, like, a no-name studio or anything, but the director, Shin Wakabayashi, it's their first full-time series direction credit. The only thing I find is it's weird because it wasn't in the Anime News Network Encyclopedia, but a original net animation for 22/7, which is some idle thing. But it seems like first, maybe second. I don't know how that counts and why that wasn't on Anime News Network's Wikipedia, but anyway, Anime News Network Encyclopedia. But and the writer, Shinji Nojima, has done a bunch of writing, but never anime before. And the thing that's really striking about the show is it looks so much like a KyoAni production, and it's not. And the director is not from KyoAni, but has apparently some ties to character designers who have worked with KyoAni before. And anyway, his style is very similar to Naoka Yamada, who is KyoAni director, who did Haruhi, K-On!, Free, Silent Voice, Liz and the Bluebird. But it's not them. It just looks very similar to their work, and very, it seems like, intentionally so. You saw the Silent Voice movie, right?
I did. I liked it.
I...
See, that one made me cry.
I liked it okay, but as a fan of the manga, I felt like the KyoAni beautiful, like, pristine aesthetic felt very odd for a movie that was, like, kind of about the harshness of children's emotions and was not painting this beautiful, pristine... Like, I feel like KyoAni animation style looks kind of like if you're looking back at this beautiful, pristine memory of your childhood. And that's not what Silent Voice is about. So I was like, this does not feel like it quite fits tonally, but...
I would disagree, but...
I mean, I still love the actual, like, story content of Silent Voice, but...
I thought, like, the art style and, like, the way they did it was, like, perfectly fit for it. Like, after looking at the manga's art, I was just like, art style-wise, like, it's a perfect fit. Like, it doesn't, like, nothing seemed off to me about it. Like, story-wise, it was different from the manga, and I could see people being upset about, like, missing out on all those details, but, like, I thought it fit pretty well.
I mean, it does, like, there are moments in the story where it's, like, it fits to be this, like... pristine reflection of childhood. Like, I'm thinking of the scenes where, like, I don't know, cherry blossoms are falling and stuff like that, but, like, I feel like that movie/manga had so many moments that were not like that, that I don't know, it felt kind of like, it felt kind of bizarre to see the main character's angst rendered in beautiful, pristine style. But anyway, that aside, this on paper is a very similar scenario in being this beautiful, pristine, KyoAni-esque style, but being about this very harsh subject matter. And I don't know, I feel like I didn't have those problems with it because it's like, there is also in this world, when they're in the Persona-esque dungeons, very harsh animation styles and like the Xeno, what are they called, like Xeno demons, I think?
I don't know what they're called. The little ones?
Yeah, little things. They're animated very different. I think they're CGI, but like bouncing around like at a crazy frame rate and very grotesque. And so it like has ugliness to represent the things, the people that have been terrible to them.
Did you ever watch Beyond the Boundary?
I think I watched like an episode and was not pulled into it. So I didn't keep going.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I wouldn't rate it very high. But this show similarly gave me Beyond the Boundary vibes. Like, I never cared about the characters in Beyond the Boundary very much. I did watch the whole thing, though. But I didn't care about the characters very much. Maybe I cried at the end. But that, like, that took a long time. But, like, visually, very similar. Like, the moments where it gets kind of grotesque. And, like, the fighting style felt kind of similar. Main character, similar, both boring.
I think Beyond the Boundary came out at a time where I was just getting into watching anime seasonally, but I also did not understand what Kyoto Animation was, so I didn't understand why people were talking about this show called Beyond the Boundary, and I think if I went to it now, I'd be okay. It looks very pretty, and that's kind of its main asset. See if the rest of the assets are good enough, too.
Yeah, that's. I think that's how I feel about Wonder Egg also, is it looks great. Not a lot else going on here for me.
I also, like, I find it inherently interesting to be depicting these, you know, like demonizing, like physically fighting, you know, like demonic caricatures of the people and scenarios that drove them to commit suicide. But I don't know, some of the way that I think this happened in episode 4, so it's kind of off limits, but I feel like some of the ways that the main girls talk about each other and like how stylish or cute their figures are and stuff, and I'm like, this is not that different from the way that I guess I just have qualms with the way that the girl in the second episode, who seems like doesn't feel right to say harassed, but her scenario was about her, was it gymnastics? What was her sport?
Oh yeah, her gymnastics coach.
Yeah, her gymnastic coach that was like very controlling and manipulative of her.
Yeah, and like probably abusive emotionally. Yeah. Not just emotionally, but probably physically as well.
Right, like definitely emotionally abusive, probably physically, and about like preserving her pristine, perfect figure and stuff. And seeing the girls talk to each other that way, I'm like, a little bit uncomfortable. And also the way that they even before that, because there are these scenes before a couple of the characters, like they look like a normal human but with their face blurred out or pixelated, and it was clear that she's like heavy set, not perfect feminine figure, and it's like, oh, that seems a little unfair to characterize her, right? And then she becomes like a full-on like hideous
her monster was gross.
Yeah, and I was a little bit like, are you I don't know.
Like, she was nasty. Well, the first girl's monster was just like a gal with her face blurred out also. She looked the same. So she wasn't like
she didn't transform, right?
She started to, I think, and then I like swung her giant pen at her.
I am confused. I was so confused when I went back to episode 1 to like, now that I kind of understood what was going on, and I was like, okay, where did you get this pen? Why does it mean so much to her? And it was like, it was just kind of left for her by the first girl that she saves. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really mean anything in particular to her. It's just, I guess, a memorabilia of the first girl she saved.
Yes, who they kind of became a little bit of friends, and then she betrayed her.
Wait, what?
Well, when she's just like, let's go, and then she's like, actually, they don't attack me, so I'll just sit here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that confused me, but then she went and saved her anyway, so.
Also, inconsistent with the things not attacking the, like, magical girls, because they, like, were attacking them a little bit. They weren't just going after, like, the twins in the third episode.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
And I think in the second episode, she was definitely, well, I guess because like they get in the way and they're defending the victim, maybe.
Maybe, but it felt like purposefully like they were attacking them in the field. And I was like, wait a second.
Well, I don't know. I feel bad. I feel like I have not lived up to the task in discussing this show, because I know it is a show with a very heavy subject matter, and also is getting a ton of praise and a ton of really thoughtful, smart criticism written about it and analysis. And I'm like, I'm just fumbling to make words. But
I think it has a couple strong points of visuals, and then maybe talking about topics that aren't usually talked about, and bringing them like to the forefront of the show. Mm-hmm. Like I guess bullying, but like really doesn't seem revolutionary to me. Sorry if I'm cynical.
I mean, I don't think it's just like bullying exists. It's like a show entirely about the trauma of girls who've been forced to commit suicide. You know, like, so I think it's like, it's not just like bullying bad. It's like,
no one forced them to do anything. They felt that was their only escape, but it wasn't like forced into it. Unless they were, and that's a twist later. Because then that's not suicide, that's murder.
I don't think... that's the kind of thing that could be like a last episode twist that would make me hate the show. But
like, some of the bullying is just... like, it's not revolutionary to me, which is like... I feel bad saying it, but like, it's not interesting because we've seen it a million times. And then like, some of it's kind of interesting, like bringing up like the unpleasant parts of being an idol. But that's not really... I don't know. It's not really talking about that. It's just talking about like an idol being toxic towards her fan. It's not really... I think I saw some people talking about, wow, it's so great that they're bringing up how like the idol industry is like nasty. And it's like, no, it's not the idol industry. It's the like fans surrounding it. And like that one girl in particular was a toxic idol or a toxic person in general who bullied her fan and like said cruel things to her.
And it's kind of like by seeing her pain and redemption that she's going through now, it's kind of normalizing that in a sense a little bit.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, you can bully someone till they like starve themselves to death. But I mean, as long as you feel bad about it.
Right. Like I hope it's going for a more nuanced message in the end, but it might just be.
It might just be that. Because like she hasn't changed at all or seemed to have learned her lesson. Because she like keeps saying mean things to her dead like fan who she insists is not her friend.
Yeah, like I don't know what I expect. I don't expect someone who's gone through that to like completely reverse course and just completely change their personality, but like I don't know, I guess what I would find more natural in that situation is to like, I think a character journey would be a lot more interesting if it's like she stops calling her those things and then she sees a different idol called a fan those things and like is kind of like reminded of how terrible she used to be and like how that I don't know. Like, not to say that, like, only one type of character journey or arc makes is good and it's wrong that they're exploring this one, but I'm hesitant about it. But, like, it's like sometimes when the show is tackling a type of trauma that someone's gone through, it feels extremely realistic. So Pixel's going through his own trauma locked into this room with me, according to podcast. Yeah. But, so sometimes it feels very realistic, and other times it's like being bullied over heterochromia, the eyes being different, and it's like feels so shallow and unrelatable. And maybe this is a real thing that happens in the world, but it feels so like anime 101, like your eyes look different, you can be bullied, you know?
Yeah, like her whole thing of like not having friends because of her like heterochromia, I'm like, really? I feel like you're just not social. Maybe they'll explore that later, but like the first three episodes really didn't do it for me. Get to it faster.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, it could be really good later on. Because honestly, I didn't like the first three episodes of Demon Slayer, and then I ended up like loving Demon Slayer.
I think it's pronounced Demon Slayer, actually. Never heard of the show.
It's actually Kimetsu no Yaiba. So.
And that's no Kimetsu no Laiba.
I also, I did not cry even a little bit when his whole family died. I guess spoilers for Demon Slayer.
Wow. Yeah, it was like, oh, this is a generic anime shonen backstory.
Yeah. So I didn't cry at all. I didn't really feel anything. I did, you know what? Was this first episode or second episode? I did get really teary when Nezuko was like a demon and he was like begging her to stop being one and like come back.
Because it's not a Demon Slayer podcast.
I'm sorry.
My full notes on the show were just very dark, very pretty. And
yeah, there's not a lot of deep... I feel like, sure, people are writing essays about it, and like, but I think they're grasping at straws. There's like, oh, all this secret deep meaning. I'm like, it's really not that deep right now. Maybe if you're predicting the future, but it's not saying a lot at this current moment.
I fundamentally disagree with you because I think there is a lot of nuance that if you're like pausing and inspecting each scene in detail, you can see that just watching it at a normal... This cat. If you're just watching it at a normal pace... goes over your head. And like a lot of our debate about Penguin Jam, it's like no one way of viewing is correct over the other. And I just happen to really enjoy that type of pouring over an anime series. So for me, it's like, it's like my catnip. And for you, it's unique bad characterization. So
yeah, I just think it's poor storytelling for me because I need like an actual story to be happening. And right now there's like nothing happening really.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're clearly leading to some kind of head.
Yeah, like I feel like it could, like if there's a story that's coming after this and that's like laying groundwork for it, that's cool. And I am excited to see how this goes. But for now, it's like, yes, something may be coming, but maybe it's not.
Well, I think it's leading to a head with like, they have to clearly be lying about the fact about whether you can resurrect a girl, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're probably lying about that. But it also could be like a relatively formulaic episodic structure up until the penultimate episode. And then it's like two episodes of them dealing with the fact that they've been lied to and like, I don't know, tear down the system itself or something. So I could see your point that, like, I think it might not be like a like wild ride the whole time through. It might just be like different episodic stories for a while.
Yeah, like a monster of the week kind of thing.
But the real monsters were inside ourselves the whole time.
Honestly, I'm expecting like the twist, the further twist, I guess, to be that when they try to resurrect their friend, it's just another demon for them to fight. And it's going to be like their trauma of losing that person. But that's my prediction. That would be kind of interesting, maybe, because all of these girls need therapy, clearly.
It is weird because it's so very grounded in realistic trauma that, like, I'm trying to just, like, think through the possibilities of Madoka-esque kind of Madoka-esque twists they could pull at the end. And it's like, I guess I'm imagining like a bargain with the devil kind of scenario where it's like, oh, you get to revive your friend, but in exchange, I don't know, three girls die or something. None of those seem to really fit with how realistically it's been handling and portraying trauma. So I'm just guessing it's going to be like Akka and Akka are just lying and they turn into monsters and they defeat them. I don't know. Like,
yeah, something wild's got to happen.
Well, I mean, what I just described there seems not wild enough. I would welcome something that's wild enough that I can't predict it. But if it's just like, yeah, I don't know. Because they do seem to be doing good at this point. Like, they are helping people's souls, so...
Yeah, I'm hoping that it turns into more of, like, we get more friendship happening with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, from there, we can actually form connections with them and feel sympathy or empathy. Because then I'm on board.
Right, like, I do think that's kind of... The only thing that makes sense to me as an arc for the show is that, like, about the journey they're going for being a metaphor for real life coping mechanisms, which is just to like find a friend group, find group therapy kind of, you know, like,
yeah,
go through individual therapy and then find group therapy and find friends. And so,
yes, that's my hope for the show, is it's group therapy.
Oh, okay. Let's get to our Twitter question. So from @LazyArtist, they asked, do y'all think the show is going to get more thoughtful about its subject matter as it goes, or will it end up being a prettier version of those edgy, dark, magical girl shows we get every couple seasons? So we've talked a lot about that in some sense, but also like when you first started comparing it to Madoka, like I have no interest in those types of shows, the things that feel like they're just, it's a magical girl series but it's dark, and I'm like, no, like I feel like they're copying all the wrong things from Madoka. But this show did not raise any of those alarms with me of just taking a magical girl premise and making it dark and like edgy for no reason. Like, I feel like the shows copy all the wrong things from Madoka Magica. But yes. do you like those kind of things at all? Do you watch any of them?
Of like the copycats?
Yeah.
No, not really, because even Madoka like wasn't really a thing I thought I would enjoy. But I guess that one was just like a great story because it like pulled me in pretty quickly. The other ones, it just feels like they're trying to go for the gimmick that is just like magical girls but dark. And this one, I don't think it's going for that same gimmick, because like they're not explicitly magical girls with like the outfits and the transformations. So it feels like its own thing in that aspect.
Yeah, and I feel like edgy, dark, magical girl shows always... The thing I hate about them is that they like feel like they're taking the trappings of the genre that appeals to and is consumed by young girls and makes it more of a thing that would be appealing to adult men instead, while still keeping the like, you know, like cute girl outfits, which also makes it gross if you're targeting adult men instead. And so like, I really don't appreciate that. And I also feel like the ways in which those shows are usually edgy and dark always feel so cynical, and like their view of humanity always seems really grim and just like it feels like the scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker is like, you know, testing humanity, and mm-hmm. I feel like those shows are about assuming that humanity will be this evil, dark, ugly thing, and that's not what I want to see in media, especially for magical girl shows.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm hoping this one doesn't take as cynical of a worldview, but that's definitely the route it feels like it's going.
See, I disagree there, because I feel like it's not setting up some weird like, you can become a magical girl, but first you have to kill someone. Let's watch them kill each other so they can become magical girls.
No, like, but the premise of this inherently is like, your friend like killed themselves, or like this person close to you killed themselves, and all of these people are like dead, and like, or it's like you didn't do anything to stop this person from killing themselves is what it feels like.
Well, yeah, but I feel like the difference there is that it's dealing with real world trauma through the trappings of kind of magical girl things, as opposed to the magical girl concept introducing a reason for people to kill each other.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, so like the magical girl mechanic in this is about easing people's suffering. So that makes it, to me, feel like...
A little better.
Optimistic in the end.
Well, we'll have to see how it ends, because yeah. This could be really good or really bad. Ugh. But I hope it gets more thoughtful. Like, actually, like, it doesn't have to spell it out at the end of every episode. Just like, wow. Like, it doesn't have to, like, Sesame Street wrap it up. Be like, wow, sometimes adults are really mean and we should learn to put up boundaries.
So you want like, one of the characters sitting in a library at the end of the episode on a chair, like, you can check out books about this at your local library.
Yes. If you need to talk to someone, here's a hotline. Like, I don't need any of that, but I do want some, like, thoughts from these girls other than, okay, we killed another demon, moving on.
Like, yeah, that's true. Like, the show is handling these heavy subject matters, but we don't really see the kids talking about it.
No, like, you just witnessed someone's trauma and you're gonna just say nothing about it and move on. But hopefully now that they have each other, they can, like, discuss it.
Yeah, I would say without spoiling things, like, there is a bit more in episode 4 of, like, the scenario that a character is going through in the dream world being similar to something they experienced in the past and making a connection there. But, like, yeah, I don't know. Interesting point. I mean, I feel like we have to learn more about Coito and what exactly was happening there. But I also wonder, like, it feels like if you read between the lines, everything is clear. So I'm not sure. Maybe they won't. I don't know. Also, I find it really hard in reading reviews of the show. I find it really hard to keep track of names. So I should clarify that Coito was Ai's friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I'm hoping it's good. Right now, I'm a little underwhelmed. I think it's also worse because since it's come out, everyone's been like, wow, this is really great. This is, like, gonna be like an instant classic or something. And, like, I was watching it and I was like, okay, it's gonna be good. And I didn't even cry.
I don't really expect to cry so often.
Because I cry at everything. Oh, are we? Okay, never mind. I'll get to it when we get to recommendations.
Okay, so your final verdict is weaving it, right?
Yes, sorry. For now. For the first three episodes, weaving it because I cannot in good conscience. I hate that word.
In good, what's his name? Oh my God, what's the Disney character that follows Sora around?
No.
Jiminy Cricket? Yeah.
Yeah. In good Jiminy Cricket, recommend this to someone. One, because it's just, like, unpleasant, like, subject matter. And two, like, I don't know if there's a payoff yet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just one of those shows that's, like, not very fun to watch week to week and or entertaining enough to watch week to week if you don't know. Like, I can't tell someone to watch it unless I know it's going to be good in the end.
I will love it because I think, like when we talked about Penguin Drama, like, it's extremely my shit in terms of having a lot to analyze and think about each week. And I feel like there's something extra special to being on the ground floor and seeing, like, watching it as it comes out and seeing people, community of people writing about the show as it comes out. Like, it's very exciting. And I do think, you know, that you have to be cautious in recommending to people because it is the kind of show that might be too heavy for people. And especially in this year that, you know, people have been dealing with even heavier situations. And so, like, that makes me cautious of recommending it. But I think if you are, you know, like, sufficiently warned and still interested, it's totally worth checking out. And some other points that I wanted to get to. Did you watch any of Terror in Resonance?
I did.
The whole thing?
Yes, but I don't remember the two episodes before the final one.
You remember everything up until two episodes before the end?
Before the final one, and then the final one, I do remember.
Okay.
I remember because I was falling asleep because I, like, watched the whole thing in, like, a night.
Oh, I forgot we talked about it because it was that one bike scene with the song that we talked about.
Yeah, right? It's so good.
Well, so, like, that was a show that, like, when I think about, like, stellar anime that seems like it's going to be amazing in the first episodes, watching week to week, it calls to mind that. And that had a lot of pedigree behind it. Like, it was from the director of Cowboy Bebop, and, mm-hmm. like, people were heralding as, like, the next coming of some amazing show, and it was dealing with these heavy subject matters, and it wasn't that heavy. Like, they were talking about terrorism, but it was kind of like, you know, kids who had been wronged through some nebulous, like, scientific experiment or something, and it wasn't really political motivation anyway. And in the end, it was kind of like, it just fizzled out and was like, okay, that really wasn't about anything, and it was just kind of meh in the end. And, like, the thing most people remember is that bike scene. And so, like, that to me feels like the darkest timeline possibility of a show like this, where it's like people are, like, digging into all this stuff about each episode, and it seems so well animated, so well directed, so well written, and then in the end it's like, yeah, meh.
Yeah, Terror in Resonance sticks in no one's mind because it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, I think, yeah, very similar problem. Like, I cared a little bit about, well, I was at 9 and 12.
I don't know. I don't remember their names.
Those were their names. But I didn't care about the world at all, or, like, the stakes seemed, like, kind of low. I know they were, like, doing attacks on buildings and stuff, but, like, it just wasn't very interesting. And I feel like while it was handling, like, their trauma and abuse also, and trying to bring that to light, like, again, it just, like, falls flat if you don't make me love or care about or, like, hate the characters. Like, I need to feel some sort of way.
Yeah.
Did watch all of it, though.
Well, on that note, if you want to be on the ground floor and watch Wonder Egg Priority as it comes out and, you know, discover if it ends up sticking the landing and is amazing or not, or if you're going to listen to my recommendation, you should go watch it on Funimation Sub, or you can listen to Annie's recommendation of not watching it.
Well, just wait till it's all done and then hear if it gets good.
Yeah. Well, are you going to keep watching?
I'll probably check it out, but I still need to catch up on Horimiya. So.
So you'll basically like wait to see the buzz.
Yeah. I'll wait to see if everyone's like, actually, this show's garbage or actually incredible, you know? Mm-hmm.
All right. So what non-anime thing do you want to recommend as a palate cleanser, this heavy show?
Okay. So like, speaking of emotional, I started watching this Thai drama called I Told Sunset About You. And I think that's what it's like translated as. I can't actually remember like the full title. I also don't speak Thai. But it's about like these two boys who were friends, like best friends. Yes.
Okay.
Or it should be, I think, getting there, but I only saw the first episode. But it's about these two boys who were best friends in their youth. And like one wanted to be an actor really bad and the other one was supporting him. And then when it was time to do the school play, the friend who was supporting him got chosen for the main role. And like, so the other friend, like, obviously was hurt. And then they like, it hurt, like, damages their friendship. Then they like meet again, like, years later. And it's like them, like discussing them trying to become actors and then also rekindling their friendship. And it made me cry in the first 10 minutes. So.
Oh, God.
It was really good, and I'm looking forward. I think it's only 5 episodes total, so I'm looking forward to finishing that in like the next day.
I'm just like, I'm looking through, and I'm like, should I send you this picture from episode 4, or is that spoiler?
It's probably of, spoiler. I Told Sunset About You. Don't tell me. I don't know anything.
Don't I also spoil feel like I need to me. Scrutinize. Like, I need to like do a thorough study on what you do and don't cry to, because like. When you're like, oh my God, I cried in the first 10 minutes. And it's like, does it actually mean anything?
You should watch this. You should watch like the first like 10, 15 minutes of it. And then like, tell me.
I have been very intrigued. I've heard that there's a very good Thai BL live action scene out there. So
is it from this show?
I don't think it's this show. Cause it doesn't look that familiar, but
well,
you've made me curious, but
yay.
My non-anime recommendation is going to be, the concept of starting things over from zero. Not the anime, ReZero, whatever that full title is. Starting, is it just starting from zero?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not ReZero, starting life in another world, but the concept of starting things from scratch, because 2 things I've done recently, which is get back into running and studying Japanese, are both things that I was like, I've done this plenty before. I shouldn't, you know, like I should keep up like top of my game, but like had fallen out of for so long that it was very intimidating to, I don't know, like Japanese, my kanji reviews had built up to like insane levels that I would have had a huge backlog to get through, and resetting back to level 1 in this app that I use, WaniKani, feels very juvenile, but also like at least I'm making some progress, and eventually that progress will build up again, and that's much better than zero progress. And you know, starting from the beginning is better than not doing anything at all. I appreciate building the habit, even if it's not making much progress each time. I think that's important.
That's true and good.
That's true and good. And what's not good is my cat making loud noises in the background while we record.
Free him.
I can't free him.
Okay, well, fine.
Now he's just climbing the door.
Okay, well, tell your cat to leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts.
No, I'm cutting the part out. Okay, so leave a review for us on Apple Maybe I will leave it in.
You can't cut it out. Okay, so leave a review on Apple Podcasts, please. Even if you think I'm wrong, but still, like, be nice about it. And you can send us feedback at loveitorweaveit@gmail.com or tweet at us at loveitorweaveit. You can follow me and yell at me at any other name on Twitter.
And I am at JeffOnlyJeff. And join us next week for Skate the Infinity. Also, maybe pronounce Infinity the Infinity.
No, okay, goodbye.
It is technically an infinity symbol. Oh my God. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, in the wise words of the first president of the United States, Benjamin Franklin, hunger is the best pickle. I I have a confession.
I hate you.
Once a cheater, always a cheater, I suppose.
I can't believe you went further than you were supposed to.
Because I had heard so much discourse about the fourth episode, and it didn't seem like it was just like run-of-the-mill discourse. It seemed like it was like, is this show actually terrible kind of discourse? So I did watch the fourth episode just to like, also it was only like an hour ago. It was like between when I last saw you. I was like, I need to go watch the fourth episode.
We've been apart for 1 hour.
Because I wanted to know, like, oh, is it good? Am I going to regret recommending this show if I recommend the show, which I'm not telling you if I am or not, because we haven't started the show yet. But if we did, anyway. So yeah, I wanted to know, and I'll talk about it without spoiling things.
I'm sick of you.
I don't have a decisive response based on that fourth episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then let's start this. Wait, I have to look at the question.
Let's crack open this egg.
Did they all commit suicide? Is that the through line?
I was unclear when I watched episodes 1 and 2, and then I tried reading like people's reviews and thoughts about the series, and it seemed like everyone was like definitively referring to it that way. And I was like, did I miss something? And I think that is definitely the through line, but they are not.
It's not explicit about it, except right, for the third episode where they're like, we literally killed ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's like there's a line at the end of the first episode where I think she asks that like mysterious entity that's talking through the bug thing, and they say no comment, and I think that's supposed to be implied to be like, yep. I think she says like, is everyone that we're saving people who committed suicide? And they're like, no comment. So I guess it does seem pretty clear, but also they never actually said it.
But like the first girl?
That one I was, now I'm trying to remember everything. The first girl. I'm trying to remember anything about her personality. Because she was kind of just there to explain the world to.
Yeah, she was kind of like, yeah, I didn't have a best friend. I had like shallow friends.
And the interpretation that I got from one of the reviews I read was that she had been visited by multiple different girls. And that's why she was basically like knew how things worked and was like, just like, oh, another one. Let me explain it to you. Which I did not get, but I may have just missed that nuance.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I missed it.
I think the thing is with the show, so we're already getting into details before we get to the actual show itself. But anyway, is that like there's lots of things that make sense if you pour over and watch a second time or whatever that as a first time viewer are confusing and vague. But it's like there are canonical answers out there because you can just go back and rewatch it and it makes sense, I think, is going on. Can you hear Pixel drinking water?
A little bit.
That's just me licking myself, sorry.
Poor Pixel. He's just always, he can't get any privacy.
Nope. At least he hasn't pooped on Mike yet. And as we always say, in the wise words of the first president of the United States, Benjamin Franklin, hunger is the best pickle.
What in the world?
That one didn't even have anime in it, but you know, sometimes you have to leave people wondering. What does that mean? What does hunger is the best pickle mean? Like, if you're craving a pickle, you should just have hunger instead?
I don't know.
What was he smoking?
Oh no, best pickle, like problem.
Oh, but the best?
Right?
What does it mean to be the best pickle? Like, the best problem? Like, what? Like,
well, did you say the first president of the United States, Benjamin Franklin?
Yes. See, that part was a lie, but the quote itself was not a lie. I mixed things up.
All right.
And we could just end every episode by saying, and as we always say, hunger is the best pickle.
Oh my God.
We could pick, I was thinking we should maybe, we could pick like one thing to say each season. Because I'm starting to realize I'm running low on quotes.
Okay. And as we always say, free him.
Who is him? Just, you'll never know. So. Is it my cat? Is it Sephiroth? Is it Wano?
Somebody it's free everyone. Sephiroth.